buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Following a crippling EMP attack against the USA, college student-turned-survivalist Danny Walker finally makes it to his secure rural location. No sooner does Danny arrive than he is given another petrifying prophetic vision of the chaos still to come. The country has been brought to its knees, and the thin veneer of civility has been torn to shreds by the savagery lurking just below the surface. Danny has survived the EMP, but will he live through the most vicious era in U.S. history? By Ichabod, Book 2 of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt. From Amazon.com today in Kindle, paperback, or audio edition.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez of Trading Post in the Woods. Enjoy the show. And another one of the questions was, a disaster happens and you only had enough food for 2 to 3 days because you figured it would not affect your area. After it happens, you found out that no food or gas was going to be shipped into your town for 2 to 3 months. Now, is this a scenario that you came up with in your head, or is this something that actually happened?
No, that right actually happened. It happened after, when Katrina took place. There was a town, and we had some people from this town actually come to see us at one of the events we were doing. And they came because, first of all, they wanted us to know what happened and that they were never going to get caught unprepared again and wanted us to share the story. So they did not take a direct hit. They weren't forecasted to take a direct hit. They were more inland. And so people in the town didn't go out to prepare. They're like, it's not going to hit us. What they didn't realize was that they were within a zone that was close enough to the disaster area that their food and resources needed to be redirected into an area that was hardest hit. Now, why on earth it was 3 months for them? Because I believe he said it was at the three-month point is when people finally started getting gas and stuff back into that town that they started moving out. 50% of the town left after they were finally able to. But the town itself had not prepared. They weren't getting groceries. They weren't getting gas. The neighbors came together at the onset, and when they ran out of food, they started siphoning gas out of people's cars and sent teams of people out to other locations to find supplies that were needed. But as he put it, you know what? If, you know, a bunch of you need diapers, and so does your child, and you find one package of diapers, who do you think is going to get the diapers? Okay, it's not like they came back and shared with everybody. They went out, they found stuff that they needed, they gave some to the town, and kept the most important items that they needed to survive. So the ones who, big fights started breaking out, and the town was divided. The town, he said, living conditions, and the people who came, they said, living conditions got so bad there that when gas finally got brought back into their town, 50% of them moved out. And he said now he won't have less than him and his other buddies and stuff that were there, no less than 6 months' supply on hand. And that also takes me back. I always pay attention to what other people are saying in articles that people are writing to go, could I say I've seen that? Does that go along with what I've seen over 18 disaster areas and stuff? And one thing I keep seeing time and time and time again, which is so bad, is where they say you want to have 2 to 3 days supply of food. Okay. I have not had any disaster that I can tell you only needed 2 to 3 days supply of food. So don't listen to that advice. It's horrible. I tell people, you know, the least you want is 2 months. And then, I mean, your goal should be a good year. You know, and with the more I see what's going on in this world and in our nation, I'm like, the more you can get, the better off you'll be. But 2 to 3 days, that's craziness. That's not going to help you. Let's look at Texas. Texas had all that flooding. All those people, were the homes flooded out, everything and stuff. You think 2 to 3 days supply of food was going to carry them over? That was a long duration. And most are. If a tornado comes through, a hurricane comes through, it's long duration. It's not short. It's not 2 to 3 days. So please, please, for those who are listening, don't listen to that advice. And look at months to years. You start out and you keep on gaining. Don't ever look and go, that's it, we're done, or we have enough, we're good. Because the more you have, if you end up not needing it, you can barter. If you don't need it, you can choose to help others. There's all sorts of things, but better to have than not to have and wish you could go back and get it. You know, I tell people once a disaster happens, there's no turning back the hands of time. There's no do-overs. There's nothing. You're in it, and now you have to survive from that moment forward. What do you do?
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Another one of the questions that you had in your article was, are you prepared to help your family through whatever might come your way? If yes, will you be able to help anyone else? An even bigger question, have you helped your family learn to handle anything and everything that might come their way if you're not there to lead them? I think one of the things you have that I'd like to hear you comment on from that question is preparing to help others, and do you have to have something like very clearly defined in your mind or written down that says, okay, I've got enough food to help one person for 1 month or two people for 2 weeks, and then do you do that and stick to it, or is this something that can kind of you make it up when the disaster happens?
I would not make it up when the disaster happens. Absolutely not. When we go into a disaster area, we take in food for our responders. We have a certain amount of water and a certain amount of food, and it's set aside. And I look at all the team, and I tell them, this is ours, and you may not give it out to anybody. Crying child, hysterical, screaming people, no one. Because if you give it out, that means you have no food, you'll become weak, and then you're useless to us. How can you help others if you're not taking care of yourself? Okay, so we don't. We've been in areas, and we will not. I tell them, if you're caught giving out any of our food, you will never come into a disaster area again to respond, because we can't trust you. It is definitely something that has to be pre-planned, and you need to prepare for it. So I tell people, if you don't have the money to buy food to help somebody else, okay, buy seeds. Buy seeds. Learn a skill. When I teach people alternatives, I will teach them, and I tell you, you are learning a value. And you are learning a way to help others, because sickness, injuries, that all is going to happen. And you may not have food to give to somebody, but if you have gained a skill knowledge, in order to help somebody else get better or to help with a broken bone or clean out a cut wall for them, you are still helping your neighbor. You have to predetermine what it is that you can do. And if you choose to give a certain amount of food, then when that certain amount of food is gone, you have to stop. Because if you don't, and you don't know when there's going to be any sort of food source available to you, then you may perish right along with them, you know. And is that fair to your family? And people will tell me, well, Eve, that's awful. You're hoarding. No, you're not hoarding. You have chosen to spend your money to prepare your family, and it is not your fault that others chose to spend their money on vacations, a Mercedes, you know, a new ski boat, whatever it is that they chose to spend their money on. You know, that was their choice. You know, we have, I had a lady who came to me, and she's a good friend. And she said, Eva, I'm not spending any of my money on getting prepared. I want to go on vacations. And I'm not taking my vacation money to get prepared. So when something happens, I'm going to come to your house, and you can take care of my family. You know, bad game plan on their part, because that's not happening. I will do for them like I will for everybody else. And we, you know what, we have plenty of skills that we will help them, and we will teach them, and we also have lots of seeds that we will give them. You can sprout your seeds so that they can have nutrition right away, and they can also learn to plant their seeds so that they have food. Then they'll have to learn how to harvest those seeds so that they'll have more seeds to replant. You know, so it doesn't, a lot of times people think, oh, help my neighbor, I have to buy, you know, I've got to buy food for me and all my family, and then I have to buy food for all my neighbors. No, you predetermine what it is you're going to do. You set out and you do that and you stick to it. If you don't stick to it, you're in trouble. And when you start seeing all the people who are suffering without food, it is heartbreaking. But if you're the person like I am who have been warning people and telling them to get prepared, at what point in time can I say, you know what, I did my job. I was that watchman on the tower, and I sounded the alarm. The fact that they chose not to listen is not my fault. And their emergency is not my emergency, and I will do what I am able to help them. And that when that's done, it's done. Your skills can be ongoing. You, if you have the skill and you know how to farm, you're going to be able to teach them, you know, how they can grow stuff. If you know how to forage, you're going to be able to teach people how to forage. Most people don't know how to do that. If you know alternative medicine, there's a lot that you're going to be able to do to help people. You know, if you have money to buy food, great. But if you don't, then you do the best you can and determine what it will be, and you stick to it. But the last thing you do is come up with it once the event happens. You know, that's not preparedness. That's winging it. And you do not want to be winging how and, you know, how much and what of you're going to be giving away to your neighbors to help them.
And one of the questions you had that I hope isn't going to be very relevant for most of our listeners, but we could have some new folks that are just coming in to sort of test the water and dip their toe in. But then I wanted to add to it, because I think it is, the concept is something that's going to be applicable to everybody. The question was, will you try to take from those that are prepared when you did not just because they have something you didn't prepare, and they have something that you now want. So, and then what I wanted to add to that question is, do we determine to survive at all costs, or do we draw the line when it's going to cost us our humanity?
You know, I think that last statement there, will you choose to survive at all costs? Will you give up your humanity? You know, that's going to be a personal question. That's going to be between that person and God. you know, on how that person is going to respond. There are people out there, and one man has a huge following, and I heard him say, you know, if a disaster happens, you know, it's not stealing, it's salvaging. Okay, so don't, if you go into somebody's home who's still living there, you're just salvaging and rummaging for the things that you need, and that's okay. It's not stealing. Hello, yeah, it's stealing. It's one thing if you know that everybody has died and, you know, you're like the only person there and you need something to survive and you know that they have it or used to have it or whatever. You know, that's a scenario none of us have ever been in here in America. But I tell people, you can't just go in and take from people, because if martial law is enacted and you steal, you can be executed. Okay, you can be shot for stealing if they so deem that will be the punishment for it. But think about it. If you know, this gentleman also said, hey, if something bad happens, head to the waterways and take the first boat you find and get out of Dodge. Well, that's a horrible advice. And I let him know I thought so because I told him, I said, you know what? Okay, so these people chose not to prepare. They're going to head to the waterway, steal from somebody who did choose to prepare. Not only could they be shot for stealing it, but now what about the mom and dad who spent all their money and has three children who are 15 minutes behind, and it's their boat that got stolen? I'm like, you know what? We can't lose our humanity. You know, there are people in disaster areas who I really believe aren't human. They, you know, there's no morals. They don't care about other people's well-being. They will use, abuse, and kill you and take whatever they want, and they don't think twice about it. You will be faced potentially with having to deal with them. Well, I look back at Bible times. You know what? When the enemy came, God allowed the people to protect themselves. If you have somebody who's coming at you and their intent is to steal or to kill you, do you have the right to defend yourself? Absolutely. That's totally different than going, you know what, our neighbor prepared and they have food and we chose to do vacations, so let's just go take all their stuff. You know, you don't just go in and start taking people's stuff, especially if you profess to know the Lord. You just don't go in and start taking people's stuff. You chose not to prepare because you said God would provide. Well, then you better be on your knees asking God to bring forth what you need and be willing to suffer the consequences if stuff doesn't come forward for you. And that's just the way, no, we're doing everything that we do, and you're doing all the preparations you're doing. Why? Because you believe that God has been telling you and us to get prepared. We have that responsibility. So you should never have to sit there and go, oh, I got to go steal from my neighbors. I have to steal from my neighbors. Will people do it? Yes. Yeah, they're going to be stealing. There'll be people killing for what other people have. Why? Because they don't want to perish. And many people will do what they have to do to survive. And my prayer is that, you know what, an army of people will rise up and choose to do what's right in the eyes of God and really help guide people so that there will be more of us that want to continue on living a moral, God-fearing, God-loving life over one of saying, who cares? I don't care about anybody else. I just care about me.
You've given us a lot of really, really good stuff to think about today, Eve. Now, you teach classes all over America, and folks can go to your Facebook site, and they can stay up to date with where you're going to be teaching there. Is that right?
Yes, they can, and they can also, like the article that you're just asking the questions off of, I know I have posted that out onto our website. So if they go to our website at www.tradingpostinthewoods.com and they scroll down on the bottom right-hand side, they're going to see news and articles, and they can look for the title of that one is Who is Really Prepared? And so they can look for that article and download it, print it off or whatever, so that they – they can start looking through those questions and really start asking themselves and start thinking and start making the game plans that they need to. And look at all the articles. I mean, they're free to download any of those articles so that they can have them, to read and to share with the people that they love or those that they're trying to get prepared as well. So.
And you offer a lot of you offer Thrive Foods for a long-term storage solution, and then you also have a great selection of essential oils on Trading Post in the Woods. Is that right?
Well, we don't. No, we have no essential oils, but we do have homeopathics. Okay, that's one thing we have, homeopathic.
Because I
teach and tell people what alternatives do, I am not allowed to sell any essential oil on our website.
Ah, okay.
But I am protected by a law that was passed back in 1940 with homeopathic, so we can have the homeopathic and sell the homeopathic. We can sell the herbs, but we cannot on our website do the oils.
Okay. But they get a lot of great education on your site.
But they could contact us. So if they're looking or want to learn more about, essential oils, they can call us. And then we can talk to them personally about it.
Eve, thanks so much for everything you do for the community. And thanks for making time for us today.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. God bless you all.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.